This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling, the Tuesday edition where we chat WWE NXT. I'm Denise Salcedo. And first and foremost, thank you so much to everyone who's tuning in here right now, whether you're watching live, watching the replay, or listening to the audio version of this podcast. We actually have a pretty exciting episode of NXT to get into. That's actually why I was running a few minutes late. I had to change the title. I had to change the thumbnail because we kind of got like a last minute tiny little unexpected surprise at the end of the show. And I'm like, oh shit, I gotta change everything really quickly and just kind of like go with it. So thank you so much to everybody who had some patience on that one too. Also, just a quick update. I did wake up with a cold today and I have been sneezing so much lately. So I did make a graphic just in case I gotta pop out of here for like a quick second because I ain't about to be sneezing on the air. But so full disclosure, guys, I am working today with the sniffles. But anyways, we gotta get into NXT and talk about what went down. If you guys wanna send in your hot takes, your cold takes, your opinions, or you just wanna support this podcast, you are more than welcome at any point to send in a super chat. The super chats really do help me out a whole lot. They keep me funded here on this channel, and that is how I make my money on here. So thank you so much to everybody who's already here. We actually got our first super chat of the day, and this is from my good friend Sheldon Jackson, who's also a YouTube member. Sheldon says, Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker for the World Heavyweight Championship, and especially on NXT, question mark. That match on NXT in front of that crowd would be crazy. It would probably do the biggest ratings NXT has had in a while since before NXT 2.0 was a thing. This is a super chat here from Sheldon Jackson. And there's a lot to get excited about. So we're going to get right into everything that went down today. This whole story kind of intertwines a little bit, so I'm going to break it down from the very beginning because this includes Baron Corbin, this includes Ilya Dragunov, this includes Seth Rollins, this includes Bron Breakker. There's a whole lot of people that are in the puzzle of this whole entire thread of what went down. We got another super chat from Brandon Rosen. Thank you so much to Brandon, who says, sneeze all you want, just make sure Vince McMahon doesn't hear you. I'm dying. Can you imagine? Let's just say, just for shits and giggles, let's just say that Vincent Kennedy McMahon Jr. Okay, I'm done. Vince McMahon tuned in and was like, I'm going to check out this girl's Tuesday NXT Power Show. Can you imagine that? But anyways, and then he's like, oh, she's sneezing. I'm out of here. Anyways, Vince McMahon is not checking out this post show, guys. Not in a million zillion years, but still, it's pretty funny to think about. Christopher Smith sends in a super chat saying Tiffany versus Thea and Bron Breakker embracing the spirit of Uncle Scotty. Bron looked like a badass in that tank with the beard, calling him out. Indeed, he did. Thank you so much to Christopher Smith. All right, so let's get to it. What the heck went down that led to Bron Breakker challenging Seth Rollins? Well, let's start from the very top. Baron Corbin opened up today's episode of NXT. Now, Baron Corbin made a surprise debut into NXT last week, and he attacked Carmelo Hayes. Now, today he comes out, and believe it or not, I know some of you guys are going to be like, what are you talking about, Denise? Because Baron Corbin actually cut a really good opening promo on NXT. I shit you not, I was a big fan of this promo that Baron Corbin cut. Now, Baron Corbin gets a lot of shit from people because sometimes you get a couple more misses than hits with Baron Corbin, right? All right, I ain't even gonna defend that. I know it. I know what the conversation surrounding Baron Corbin is. However, I do like Baron Corbin depending on what they have him do. When they have him do things that work, I think he does them pretty well. For example, bum-ass Corbin, broke-ass Corbin, whatever, all the poor Corbins, all of that was great. Now, Baron Corbin, when he was happy Corbin and literally doing those terrible jokes with Madcap Moss, not great. But when you do have Baron Corbin go out there and do something good, it definitely can work. And this one was literally him just going out there and basically saying that this generation of NXT basically doesn't care. He shits on the people from NXT that got called up to the main roster and says that they're ungrateful, that they're just on their phones. And then he says that he was backstage at NXT and that all he can hear about is people talking about how they haven't been called up. And he's basically saying, he then goes on to say that he believes that the NXT roster is soft and weak. I mean, I was getting ready for Baron Corbin to be like The Undertaker on freaking Joe Rogan's podcast and be like, when men were men. That was what I was expecting at one point from Baron Corbin. Sorry, guys. That was freaking hilarious. I still laugh about that, by the way. I know it was a funny comment. Well, not a funny comment by The Undertaker, but now I turned it into something funny and I use it all the time now in my personal life. I'm like, when men were men, whatever. So he is going out there, and at one point the crowd claps for something that he says. I forgot what it was that he says, but he has a really funny line and he says, don't clap for that. You guys never clap for that. Get off my bandwagon. I thought that was really good. So Baron Corbin's trashing the new generation of NXT. He basically says that he's going to put a stop to it and this and that. And then he's interrupted by Ilya Dragunov. Now, Ilya Dragunov is definitely not soft and he's definitely not weak. He goes out there and he says, I am not soft. I am not weak. I am the most animalistic, intense man in NXT. And he ain't lying. Okay. For those of you who have not seen Ilya Dragunov work, he means this and it's true. For those of you who have seen Ilya Dragunov work, then you know exactly what I mean. So then Baron Corbin and Ilya kind of go back and forth here. And every time I tend to forget about this, I'm somehow reminded some way. Baron Corbin reminds us that not only has he performed in 6 WrestleManias, but he retired Kurt Angle. And every time I hear it, my blood boils. My blood boils. That is the thing that I have been most upset about ever in wrestling. And I don't think I really get upset about things, but this one I will always and forever be upset about. So you know what? Baron Corbin mentioned it. He was able to get some heat, at least definitely from me and plenty of people. So he goes in there and he's talking about how he's the biggest star in the building. So Ilya Dragunov challenges him to a match. All right, so I was thinking, oh, maybe we're going to get Baron Corbin, Ilya Dragunov today. Not really sure because they didn't really make that clear. But then it was kind of made clear that that match wasn't going to happen here today because afterwards, Ilya Dragunov is attacked backstage by Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker attacks him because he did not like that Ilya Dragunov said to Baron Corbin that Dragunov was the most intense, animalistic guy on NXT. That triggered Bron Breakker because he considers himself to be that guy. And I bloody loved this. I loved this attack from Bron Breakker on Ilya Dragunov because he should be pissed, right? He should be pissed that there is another man on this show who considers himself the most animalistic, intense guy. So that already within itself was kind of cool to see Bron Breakker attack Ilya Dragunov. And I was curious to see when they're going to circle back to two things. When are they going to circle back to Ilya Dragunov, Baron Corbin? They answered that. I'll give that answer to you in a second. But when are they going to circle back once again to Ilya Dragunov, Bron Breakker? We have seen Ilya Dragunov, Bron Breakker in the past, including with JD McDonagh. And it was legitimately one of the best Bron Breakker NXT championship matches that he's had. Well, from here on out, we ended up getting Baron Corbin versus Trick Williams. And this was really like a whatever match. Bron Breakker gets his win. This was legitimately just for Bron Breakker to get a win. I mean, sorry, Baron Corbin. Excuse me. Baron Corbin versus Trick Williams. Sorry, guys. I jumped ahead here. Baron Corbin versus Trick Williams. We get this match. Nothing much. Baron Corbin gets his win. It was just for Baron Corbin to get his win on NXT. Like, I was kind of... previously, I was wondering if they were going to do Dragunov, Baron Corbin, because I was thinking, that's interesting. Dragunov cannot lose to Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin just made his debut to NXT. He would look like a loser if he were to lose in his first match on NXT. So I'm kind of glad that they didn't do Dragunov Baron Corbin here today, because I cannot buy that Dragunov would lose to Baron Corbin. Now, bless Baron Corbin's heart, but Ilya Dragunov to me is on an entirely different level, and I cannot buy him defeating Baron Corbin. So we press on from here. Later on, at the end of the show, very, very tail end, reporter goes up to, or whoever goes up to, Bron Breakker as he's walking out in the parking lot. No, he did not get kidnapped. Instead, he is a madman. He's pissed off. He stares into the camera and he talks about how he wants to challenge Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins was the first ever NXT champion and he wants to challenge him. He calls him out and tells him to come to NXT and put his World Heavyweight Championship on the line. And so just like that, ladies and gents, Bron Breakker has officially challenged Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, we have been seeing main roster people over on NXT. However, we have not seen Seth Rollins, World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins, on NXT. He just won the title, and this is completely, to me, unexpected. I love it on the Bron Breakker side because it shows that the man has guts. It goes with what he's been doing, which is running Rampage on NXT, attacking people, spearing Carmelo Hayes through a freaking wall, attacking Ilya Dragunov, attacking multiple people on the show, and heel Bron Breakker is legitimately the best thing that they have done for Bron on NXT, because for those of you who did not know or have not been watching NXT, it kind of got very rough for Bron Breakker, face Bron Breakker. People were getting a little bit bored of Bron Breakker. And so finally, he's a heel and things have really turned around. Now, as for this challenge with Seth Rollins, Seth has to accept. There's no way he's not going to accept. When they do this match, I have no idea if it's going to be next week, 2 weeks from now. No idea. Maybe it's going to be at the freaking Great American Bash on July 30th. That would probably make the most sense. I would like to see that. But I do think that this is going to be really cool because Bron Breakker, I don't think, loses anything by challenging the World Heavyweight Champion and losing to Seth Rollins. Like, he doesn't lose anything by doing that. So I thought this was a really strong way to end the show and kind of get us excited about multiple things. You know, seeing more main roster talent on NXT, seeing Bron Breakker have the guts, have the balls, have the huevos to go and challenge Seth Rollins. All good stuff here, guys. We got a couple of super chats. This one's from Justin Martin, who says, hell yes, everybody throw up a U. It's time for an Andre Chase University size party. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Thank you so much to Justin Martin for sending in the super chat. John Deller sends in one in saying, Ilya deserves a match against a main roster performer to show he's ready for Gunther on Raw. By the way, I forgot to mention that next week we are going to be seeing Ilya Dragunov versus Baron Corbin next week on NXT. And I don't want to see Ilya Dragunov lose to Baron Corbin. Like, I like Baron Corbin, right? I can tolerate Baron Corbin. I don't want to see him lose to Ilya Dragunov. In fact, if he loses to Ilya Dragunov, I'm going to be on here freaking pissed off because I do not want to see Baron Corbin lose to Ilya Dragunov. But anyways, I do think that Ilya has made it very clear, or they've made it very clear on NXT that he is, you know, one of the top guys, you know, aligned. When you consider top guys, you think of Carmelo Hayes, you think of Bron Breakker, you think of Ilya Dragunov over on the NXT side of things. Heidi Ho sends in a super chat saying, Corbin over Angle, I'm here to cause violence. Heidi Ho, how dare you? This was literally, I remember being there at WrestleMania 35 for Baron Corbin, Kurt Angle. Now, let me start off by saying that Kurt Angle is my number three on my top favorite wrestlers. I love Kurt Angle. Like, I don't think people realize, I don't think I've made it clear enough how much I love Kurt Angle. And I think he's one of the greatest wrestlers to ever walk this planet. And the man is like one of my wrestling freaking heroes, okay? And every time I think about the fact that he could have had a match against John Cena at WrestleMania 35, and instead Vince McMahon was like, nah, you're getting Baron Corbin because you're in a feud with him. I spoke with Kurt Angle. We did an interview. We spoke about that. You can watch it here on my YouTube channel if you haven't already. I asked him about that match with Baron Corbin, and he said that he told Vince McMahon, hey, man, I'm retiring at WrestleMania. I want John Cena. And Vince was like, no, you're going to get Baron Corbin. He's like, no, Vince. I'm going to retire. And Vince was like, yeah, you're going to get Baron Corbin. And so he kind of tells that story and it breaks my heart. Even being there at the show, I kept thinking, well, maybe something's going to happen where like it's not going to be Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle. And then it did happen and I don't want to talk about it anymore. Heidi Ho, thank you so much for just upsetting me this moment. All right, so let's see what else we got here. We got a lot of different comments here about just everything. And man, all right, I'm so happy that there's a bunch of people out here, by the way, showing their love for Kurt Angle. So that's freaking awesome. And yes, they did announce Corbin versus Dragunov next week, guys. All right, so man, Justin Martin says the fact that Kurt Angle's career ended with an 8-minute match against Baron Corbin is still so unfair. It kills me, guys. Kurt Angle's book was also the first wrestling book I ever read. It's true. Oh, man. All right. Well, anyways, we're not here to talk about that right now, but Baron Corbin did bring it up here on the show. So that's where we're at with everything surrounding Baron Corbin, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov. They kind of did a whole lot to set up a bunch of different possible feuds. Bron Breakker, Ilya, and of course, you know, the challenge of Bron Breakker on Seth Rollins. Cadillac Carson says now we're all depressed. This literally started as a podcast party and now everyone is depressed. All right, well, let's pick things back up, guys. Let's actually talk about the second most important thing on the show that occurred. And that thing is the NXT Women's Championship number one contenders battle royal. So there's kind of a bit to get into here today because I mentioned at the top of this us last week and a couple weeks that we've been sporadically seeing main roster talent appear on the NXT side of things. I mentioned last week that Nick Khan did a press conference, or he was at a conference, and he mentioned that there was going to be more main roster people on NXT, and he was kind of mentioning it, maybe seeing it more so as a third brand instead of more like a developmental. So we are clearly seeing those changes, and I like it because they're giving people for Shawn Michaels to play with. You know, we got to see the New Day a while back, you know, go out there on NXT, do their bits, and it's fun when we get people to go out there that we didn't expect from the main roster. So we've been kind of mainly seeing it on the men's side. We'd seen a couple with the women, one of them being Mandy Rose, one of them being Natalia. And now we saw it with Dana Brooke. Now, Dana Brooke has been interesting because Dana Brooke was partners with Mandy Rose when Mandy Rose got called back down to NXT from Raw. Remember, they were doing the whole tag team together and they were kind of looking cute. You know, things were not really going so great because they were kind of booking them like crap, but regardless, they were still a team. So Mandy Rose goes over to NXT and, you know, things just got a million times better for her. Of course, things didn't end so great, but at least her run as NXT Women's Champion was great. Well, Dana Brooke, unfortunately, they haven't been doing much with her on the main roster. It has been very, very slim pickings for Dana Brooke. They haven't really had her in any major feud. She's had matches only here and there. In fact, there was There was a whole movement on social media, actually, where Dana Brooke fans were tweeting this hashtag of give Dana Brooke a chance because people just wanted to see her on TV. People were taking signs that they wanted to see Dana Brooke on TV and all of this. So she has had a lot of support from her fans. I recently spoke to Dana Brooke. When was it? For God, was it WrestleMania? One of the weeks that I was there and interviewing people, I interviewed Dana Brooke. You can also find that here on the YouTube channel. And one of the things that she told me is that she wants people to see more of her in the sense that she can do a lot more than what she's given. Now, she did say that she has been very grateful for everything that she's gotten to do in the company, but that she knows she can do a lot more. So with that being said, seeing Dana Brooke get involved here on NXT and enter herself into the number one contenders battle royale, I thought this was a really nice thing for Dana Brooke. I even thought, because my original last week, everybody was asking, you know, who I thought was going to win this battle royale. And my pick was Thea Hale. I'm like, it's going to be Thea Hale. It's going to be Thea. And when Dana Brooke came in, I'm thinking, oh shit, maybe it's not going to be Thea. Maybe it's going to be Dana Brooke. And I wouldn't have minded that because I do think that Dana Brooke on NXT can kind of do, can do something for her. Look what it did for Mandy Rose. Look what it's done for Apollo Crews. Look what it's done for Dijak. There's all these really great examples of people that have gone down to NXT that weren't getting much action or traction on the main roster. And then they go over to NXT and things actually work out for them. So I do hope to see that happen for Dana Brooke, because this is kind of like her opportunity to, you know, make something happen. Because again, nothing was happening for her on the main roster. We got a super chat here from John Deller who says Denise will get happier when she discusses Thea. Oh boy, cannot wait to talk about that. So that was the first portion of this, of the women's battle royal. Then backstage, we got an interview between Mackenzie Mitchell and Tiffany Stratton, our NXT women's champion. And Tiffany Stratton and Mackenzie, by the way, we need more segments with these two together, because Mackenzie Mitchell did a phenomenal job in her facial expressions and kind of being irritated by Tiffany Stratton. And I think they could kind of milk this a little bit more where it becomes Mackenzie Mitchell's like annoying person that she has to talk to all the time, because Tiffany Stratton sees herself as so high and mighty and Mackenzie Mitchell's the one that has to put up with her in these interviews. So I want to see more interviews with Mackenzie and Tiffany. So she's asked who she thinks is going to win the battle royale. And Tiffany Stratton's prediction is Lyra Valkyria. And she says that it's Lyra because Lyra basically, her and Lyra, when they had their match together at Battleground, basically went to the max and whatever. So she puts over Lyra. Let's talk about the actual battle royal. There were some parts that were a little bit, they were a little bit clunky, but overall, I did enjoy this battle royal for what it was. There were some parts where I was like, ooh, that was a little rough, but let's talk about that. So the first one is Gigi Dolin. She gets eliminated by Kiana James, and I kind of thought that Gigi Dolin should have been one of the final five women in this battle royale, because Gigi Dolin is coming off of this massive victory against JC Jane in that weaponized steel cage match from last week. And she won that in a very exclamation point type of finish with the choke slam through the table. And so I was kind of a little bit bummed out that Gigi Dolin didn't make it to the final few women, and her elimination was kind of just a little bit like whatever. So I kind of thought that was a little bit like of a bummer. And then the Thea Hale spot, I really wish that they would have put a replay during this of the Thea Hale spot, because you got to understand, you're watching the match and things are happening so fast. It almost looked like Thea Hale eliminated herself, and they kept saying, oh, she went through the middle rope. She went through the middle rope. Okay. Well, when I first watched it, I didn't notice that. And so I kind of wish that they would have done a replay here of that spot, because it looked weird. And I really wish they would have done the replay, just so that it would have made a little bit more sense for the people that might have missed it, like me. So anyways, the other thing that we had was Blair Davenport. She was just watching throughout the entire thing. We saw JC Jane eliminate Roxanne Perez. I'm curious as to Roxanne Perez is kind of a question mark for me right now, because it really seems like some of her momentum has slowed down on NXT, and it's not because of her, but rather because it seems like they're slowing it down for her. And I really thought that she was still going to be NXT Women's Champion, that we were going to get a whole run with her as NXT Women's Champion. We didn't get that. And so now I'm like, okay, you guys got to heat back up Roxanne Perez, because it kind of feels like they have sort of purposely really, really slowed down her momentum. And I'm not really a big fan of that. I want to see Roxanne Perez be, you know, at the very tippy top, you know? So that one's a little bit interesting for me here. I do want to highlight Lyra Valkyra, because she had some really great moments during this. Lyra did a heel kick on Fallon Henley. She then had there was a moment where she was doing like the Shawn Michaels spot where she's hanging onto the ropes and she's almost going to be eliminated, but her feet are dangling. And then she moves her feet up. So this was kind of a botch, I think, from JC Jane. I think JC forgot that she had to be there, because Lyra puts her feet up and she doesn't get over it. Like, she doesn't purposely like move herself over back into the ring. And then you see that JC turns around and then she goes behind her. And then Lyra does the feet thing again. And that's where she basically takes her down. And so that was kind of a little bit of a awkward spot. So that was one of the first awkward spots that I noticed during this one. So then we had the final four, which was Cora Jade, Fallon Henley, Dana Brooke, and Kiana James. Then the final three, Fallon eliminates Kiana. This made a lot of sense since they have been beefing for quite a while now. So I did like that this kind of culminated there. And then afterwards, I also thought Fallon Henley's elimination looked a little bit weird. It almost looked like she just kind of eliminated herself. So then the final two, in quotations, by the way, is Cora Jade and Dana Brooke. And at this point, I had kind of forgotten that they were doing the whole bit with Thea Hale. And so Thea Hale never got eliminated. Again, they should have shown the replay here, but Thea Hale officially never gets eliminated. And she goes into this match. And so then the real final three are Thea Hale, Dana Brooke, and Cora Jade. So the ending, I really enjoyed. I thought it looked really good. All three girls looked really great in this. And we end up seeing Thea Hale eliminate both Cora Jade and Dana Brooke. Now, this is kind of massive, because Dana Brooke is a main roster star and Cora Jade has been a pretty featured act on NXT. She's had really great storylines, and Thea Hale eliminates them both, and she has her moment. All of Chase U comes down, the whole entire university, they're lifting her up. She's having her big, you know, champion, like her big, like if she just won the freaking Super Bowl moment. And I was so happy that they gave this to Thea Hale, because Thea Hale has low-key been one of the most enjoyable people to watch on NXT. I only have good things to say about Thea Hale. And they're doing this whole thing where she's been training with Drew Gulak and Charlie Dempsey. And she kind of started off struggling a little bit, but she got it back together. And now she's kind of coming into her own as a wrestler on the actual, like, storyline wise, right? And so she wins. And I think it was smart to have Thea Hale win, because, and the reason why I had chose her as my prediction was legitimately because it makes sense. She's not seen as this, you know, person on the roster who has all of these, you know, groundbreaking matches, right? Like, that's not what they've done with Thea Hale. She's been more of a character, and she's really lovable. So it's polar opposite of Tiffany Stratton. And if Thea Hale loses to Tiffany Stratton, which she is, she loses nothing, in my opinion, by losing to Tiffany Stratton. So to me, it made all the sense in the world to have Thea Hale win this battle royal and become the number one contender. So I was very, very fond of this and so happy for Thea Hale. Brandon Rosen sends in a super chat saying Gigi's elimination wasn't worth all the pain she had to go through in that cage match. It was not a strong elimination, and I kind of feel like it made Gigi Dolin just look like anybody on the roster, when again, coming off of that steel cage match, I think there should have been a lot more oomph put into that elimination, and maybe just highlight her a little bit more, because the girl just went through a massive steel cage match in what was a very personal heated feud. So yeah, I would like to see her, you know, kind of make it towards like pretty much somewhat the ending. Jordan Booth sends in a super chat saying, "Sup Denise, glad to be back catching the stream again. Glad for Thea, but would have preferred to see Fallon Henley win, to be honest. Please keep being a legend." So that's interesting, because again, Fallon Henley and Kiana James, for the most part, when they were NXT tag team champions, they pretty much, the belts were secondary. The whole thing was the storyline between whether or not Kiana James was cheating on freaking what's his face? And so that was pretty much the entire thing. And so Fallon Henley, when she goes out there, she has proved to be a pretty enjoyable person to watch perform. But I wouldn't say that I would have had her win only because I still think that, I don't know why. I wouldn't have minded. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I wouldn't have minded Fallon Henley to win, but I just think it would, the story that they were doing and what they've been doing with Thea kind of just made a little bit more sense timing-wise with the storyline of Thea Hale on NXT. And thank you so much to Jordan Booth for coming back to the streams and hanging out here, man. We also got a, let's see what we got here. We got a lot of different comments here. This is from Daniel Reynoso, who's a YouTube member, and he says, I don't know, but every time they do Gigi wrong, I feel PK coming back, and if it happens, AEW is waiting. Oh, Priscilla Kelly, sorry. I was like, what's PK, Priscilla Kelly? Look, I don't think that they're doing her wrong to like the point where she should leave the company or anything like that. I really don't think so. But I do think that just, again, based off of her timeline on NXT, I just think she should have been maybe in the final few. But I don't think that they're doing her like dirty or anything like that. I don't think so. I think she's had some really solid moments on NXT. I mean, her and Mandy and JC Jane were literally like the focal point of NXT 2.0 for like the first whole year. They were tag team champions for the longest time. Then she gets put into the storyline with JC Jane that got really personal. She got some really great promo work in there. She had the really great steel cage match. So I wouldn't say that things are going, you know, poorly for Gigi Dolan. So I would say it was definitely okay. And Dante NYC says that she tweeted that she misses Priscilla Kelly. I didn't see that she tweeted that. Did she really tweet that? Oh, shit. Okay, that's interesting. If someone can send me the link, that would be great. But I didn't see that. I always miss people's tweets on Twitter, by the way. How? How do I always miss this stuff? All right. So there you go. That was the whole portion with the NXT Women's Championship Contenders Battle Royal. All right. So let's kind of rewind and talk about some of the other things that occurred on the show that were maybe not that big of a deal, but were still pretty good. Some of the highlights that you need to know about. However, before I get into the rest of everything that occurred on NXT here tonight, just a friendly reminder that tomorrow I will be back here to talk about AEW Dynamite. Wednesdays is all about AEW. Friday, I will be here once again to talk about SmackDown and maybe Rampage. I gotta look at the card and see. If not, I'll just go online. I mean, I'll go live after SmackDown. Give me a second to think about what I'm doing on Friday. And then also Saturday, June 17th is the official premiere of AEW Collision. Because it is the premiere, I am going to be doing a watch along and a post show. So I will be watching the show live here on YouTube. And then afterwards, you know, talking about the actual show itself and just kind of breaking that down. So I think that'll be really fun. Something different that hasn't been done here yet on the channel. Also, shout out to Tiger Claw Gaming, who just became a brand new YouTube member. Tiger Claw, thank you so much for joining the DWO. It is so appreciated that you have joined. Thank you so much to Tiger Claw Gaming. All right, guys, now let's press on from here. And someone's saying that Gigi, Ty says that tweet from Gigi was a while ago, not serious. Okay, thank you, guys. And some people are saying that she didn't tweet that. Okay, well, okay, cool, because I feel like I should have seen or heard about it had she done it. So there's so many wrestlers, guys, to on multiple companies to follow everyone's Twitter account. So sometimes I miss things. All right, so now let's go ahead and get into the first match that we had of the night. And this was the Schism versus the Creeds and Ivy Nile. A couple things to say here is you guys already know that I'm a fan of the Creed brothers. There's nothing much more to say about that other than damn Julius Creed. God damn, he is so freaking good. And I don't want to take away from Brutus because I think Brutus is freaking great too. But Julius really damn shine tonight, like a little extra than he always shines, but he added a little extra in there. He was freaking getting Reed, like he was manhandling him, getting him with suplexes, hitting him with knees to the midsection, and that was really cool to kind of see. I loved the teamwork from Diamond Mine, and Here's the thing. And then he also did a overhead toss on both members of the Dyad, by the way. That was from Julius. And then he gets them with the moonsault, a really nice little sequence that we got there. Now, Ivy Nile and Ava Rain kind of get a little bit of a moment there. And Ava kicks Ivy Nile. And that's kind of like it for that second. They've been keeping it very minimal with Ava Rain. We get little pieces, little teases here and there with Ava. She hasn't really had like a full on, you know, moment where you can really be like, oh, damn, you know, this and that. So Ava, though, basically gets the win here because she headbutts Ivy Nile with that mask that she has on her face. She headbutts her and gets the win for her team. So I thought this was fun. I like to see that. I also liked that. Later on, because we will talk about Joe Gacy some more, but later on in the day, we do get Joe Gacy, who's like really angry, and I'll probably save that for later. So give me a second. I'll circle back to Joe Gacy. But also, I want to welcome Patrick Scroggins, who also just became a member here on the YouTube channel. Patrick, thank you so much. For those of you who do not know what you can get here on the channel, I have over 20 videos that are up right now exclusively for YouTube members, one of which includes the Wrestling Rewind. And that is literally me going back and rewatching every single WrestleMania heading into WrestleMania 39. I did that and it was a really fun experience. So if you want some nostalgia stuff, that is up there. I also have some additional videos that you guys can go ahead and check out and more to come of things that I have planned for the YouTube members. So thank you so much to Patrick Scroggins for signing up here, man. All right, so let's get into, we got a backstage segment with Tony B and Stax. And as we know, Tony B's in jail. And this time they did a phone call with Stax and Tony D, and they're trying to figure out who's coming after Tony because he has all of these enemies and he believes that it's Gallus. And what can I say, guys? This whole thing with Tony D and the way that they have shot these videos, it kind of feels like a, how do I say this? It feels a little bit like a cheesy Netflix film, and I love it. I think they've been doing a really great job with these little videos that they've been doing, especially when it comes to Tony D. So I'm digging this, man. Digging this. All right. Von Wagner, speaking of videos that they're doing, Von Wagner in therapy, and for the first time ever, breaking news here, Von Wagner showed some personality. Breaking freaking news. All right. Now, bless his heart, Von Wagner, but it's been a while that he's been on NXT and I have not been a fan of the in-ring work. I haven't been a fan of the actual character or his personality because there really wasn't anything really there. So bless his heart. But today we at least got a little glimmer, a little something to kind of, you know what? Get a little bit of applause there for Von Wagner. So he's okay. So Robert Stone has been wanting him to go to therapy. And they showed this montage of him going to all these therapists and it not working out. One of them telling him he has an anger problem. He's like, I'm not angry. And very, very forced, but whatever. So then he goes into another therapist. And I think it's one of the freaking Chase U guys who comes out crying or something. And Von Wagner is basically like, I ain't going in there. Hell no, I'm not going to go in there and talk to the therapist. But then the therapist comes out and she is this beautiful, stunning, blonde woman who comes out and she's like, you know, looking like really great stuff, right? She looks like hot shit. And Von Wagner all of a sudden is like, okay, I'm going to go to my therapy. And he goes in and this was when we finally saw some personality from Von Wagner. He turns to Robert Stone and he winks. There you go. We finally got a glimpse of Von Wagner's personality, and all it took was a hot therapist. Applause. Nicholas763 sends in a super chat saying, I think it's Stax who reported Tony because with the Pretty Deadly segment, they both took part of it, but only Tony is in jail. And I think I mentioned this last week or maybe even the week before, but it does kind of feel like Stax may be the one behind this because how is it that he's gotten away with so much of this when we all saw that he was in line with Tony D and pretty much doing Tony D wasn't out there throwing Pretty Deadly to the fishes by himself. He most definitely was not. So I do have a feeling that it's also stacked. So thank you so much to Nicholas763 for also adding this too. Tiger Claw Gaming, brand new YouTube member, says, I'm going to need therapy after seeing that therapist. Hey, man, freaking go for it. I mean, I don't know what our therapist and IRL really look like, but I mean, I can see a lot of people going to therapists, and that's what therapy, that's what their therapist looks like. But I did find it funny, though, that it took a hot woman to bring out some personality in Von Wagner. So, you know what? There you go. When all else fails, bring in a hot woman and you'll get something great. All right. Everybody now here wants to go to therapy, by the way. Oh, man. We also have Maria. Maria, so great to have you on the chat today. Maria says, I love this segment with Von Wagner. What? That's like the first time I've ever seen anyone in the chat say they loved a segment with Von Wagner. All right, there. I'm going to continue on because I'm just saying all these things and I just feel bad now. All right. So, all right. Danny Palmer versus Blair Davenport. As you guys recall, last week, Blair Davenport revealed herself as the mystery attacker who's been attacking all these women on NXT. And she basically attacked Danny Palmer again last week, and so they ended up having a match. This was really just a generic, simple match. Blair Davenport gets the win. Cool, nothing much more to add there. Nathan Frazier brings back his hard-hitting Home Truths talk show, and this time he has Dragon Lee as a co-host. And basically here, they're making fun of Noam Dar. They're making fun of his friends because he just randomly got new friends with Lash Legend or Omenza. And I'm actually blanking on the other person right now, but they make fun of him. They tell him that he did a rent a friend. And this was fun. This was fun because I thought that Dragon Lee going out there and doing everything in Spanglish was really enjoyable. He was like, número five, no, número cinco, número cuatro, número tres, and so on and so forth. And so Dragon Lee kind of made this a little bit fun because I thought for the most part, the hard-hitting Home Truths is like, okay, they really try to make these a thing, but whoever you put in these spots, I feel have to be really funny. And I don't know if I consider Nathan Frazier really funny. So I kind of liked Dragon Lee being part of this. Now, someone on Twitter tweeted me saying that they think that Nathan Frazier and Dragon Lee should be a tag team. And shout out to that person because I really like that idea and I wouldn't mind seeing that. But we do find out that next week we are going to be seeing Noam Dar versus Nathan Frazier for that Heritage Cup, and also Dragon Lee will be in his corner. So that's pretty much where we're at with that. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's Jakarta Jackson is what everybody's saying. Sorry, guys. I don't remember her name, so I don't want to mess it up. I probably already did, though. Too late. All right. So let's move on to Mustafa Ali versus Joe Gacy, because we kind of got a bit here, and I was going to talk about Joe Gacy because we had more of the schism stuff. But this was another pretty straightforward match. Mustafa Ali wins with the 450, gets his win. Same thing as Baron Corbin, goes out there, gets a win. Joe Gacy loses nothing by losing to Mustafa Ali. However, this is now playing into more of the storyline. So after this, the schism attacks Mustafa Ali. And then Tyler Bate and Wes Lee come in to help out Mustafa Ali. So then Ali super kicks Joe Gacy. And you could tell immediately that they're going to do a 3-on-3 match. And then later on in the night, they do announce that we are going to be seeing a 3-on-3 match next week on NXT. However, later on in the night, we also get Joe Gacy, who is very angry. He's pissed off that he lost to Mustafa Ali. He's pissed off that he lost at Battleground. He feels that he's been falling short, and that he needs to reflect and rectify. And I will say this, though, the schism are really good friends because the man is losing left and right, and they were like, don't worry, we got your back. Nah, bro, my friend was losing left and right, I'd be like, sucker, get out of here. I ain't associating with you no more. I only associate with winners. Just kidding. But okay, so that's what we got with Joe Gacy and the schism. And later on, we get a backstage segment with Tyler Bate, Ali, and Wesley. And Ali's basically telling them, you know, you guys got to love the competition, have a match together. And at some point, Tyler Bate and Wesley are going to have this match together. I don't think they already announced when, but next week, for sure, we are getting the 3-on-3. All right. So thank you so much to Jamie. Jakara is the other person that is associating now with Noam Dar. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. This helps, by the way. Phonetic spelling or whatever, that always helps a whole lot. All right. Remember when I couldn't say Lyra Valkyra? Damn, that one took a really long time to get. Holy damn. I almost gave up that day. I wanted to cry. That one was so bad. There was somebody else here. There was somebody else whose name I couldn't say on NXT. And I know it was Lyra was one of them, but there was another one. I can't remember who, but take some practice. All right, moving on from here. We got another backstage segment with Malik and Idris. And I really liked what they did last week with Tank and Hank. And this time they go up to Brooks and Jensen, or whatever the hell their names are. And they're asking him the same questions and they're acing it. They're doing a great job with answering each other's questions. So Malik and Idris are like, kind of like, damn, we're a tag team and we don't really know each other that well. So they're kind of playing off of that from last week. And then Tank and Hank come in, and it was funny because they start talking, right? And they're talking about, you know, music and this and that, and kind of, you know, guess trying to figure out the music that they like, whatever. And I was kind of like half tuned out on this one here. And then all of a sudden I hear Taylor Swift, and I was like, ah, I'm back. We got a name drop here of Taylor Swift on NXT. Yay. For those of you who do not know, this podcast, Speak Now Pro Wrestling, is named after Taylor Swift's album Speak Now, because that is my queen, that is my goddess. And so yes, very happy to see Taylor Swift get name dropped on NXT. Isla, thank you so much to everybody. Holy shit, I'm more embarrassed. Fuck, I'm so embarrassed that everybody remembers who the other person was that I couldn't get their freaking name. No, you guys weren't supposed to remember. It was Isla Dawn. I kept calling her Isla. And then out of nowhere, well, it was like when she first came in, I'm like, oh yeah, Isla Dawn. And then everybody was like, no, bro, it's Isla. And I never forgot the pronunciation of her name ever again. So thanks everyone for remembering that I couldn't pronounce, or that I mispronounced Isla and said Isla. And it was also because of Isla Fisher. I've been calling her Isla Fisher for years, and I don't even know if that's her real name anymore. Like, I'm just questioning all of life right now. Thank you, Dante NYC. He says, so did Michael Cole. He did. Antihero 301 says, oh, we remember, sis. Oh God, so embarrassing. All right, so Tony says Denise is thinking about La Isla Bonita. Shout out to Madonna. That is a great song. All right, so afterwards we got Eddie Thorpe versus Damon Kemp. Eddie Thorpe wins. I thought this match was whatever. So I'm a bigger fan of Damon Kemp, so I was a little bummed out with this one, but whatever. I want to talk about Scripps versus Dabakato. And the reason why I want to talk about this one is because I thought that this match was really bad. And oh boy, if you did not watch Scripps versus Dabakato, thumbs up, because this was rough. And if you did watch it, bless your cotton socks, because this was rough. Now, there was a moment, like the beginning was like fine, right? Because Scripps was, you know, bouncing around, trying not to, you know, get hit by Dabakato. But the second Dabakato got on offense, ooh, it was rough. There was a moment where Dabakato just looked really lost. There was a moment where he wraps his hands around Scripps's freaking throw, and he's gonna, you know, throw him out, right? And he kind of looked confused, like he forgot which direction he had to throw Scripps. And at one point he was gonna throw him in an area where like the referee was there was no space to actually throw him. And then he realized it and was like, oh wait, I gotta throw him this way. And so that was super noticeable, and it kind of made things a little bit awkward. And so then the match like really slowed down and it just got weird. So they go into the outside and he's kind of, I don't even know what the hell he's doing to freaking Scripps at this point. But Axiom, pops out of nowhere, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be cool. And they did this whole thing where Axiom is distracting Dabakato, and that's supposed, it was supposed to be, I think the idea that they had probably sounded a lot better on paper, but when you actually saw it play out, it was weird. It was really weird because the Axiom thing kind of flopped, and this was supposed to allow Reggie Scripps to basically, this was supposed to, the Axiom distraction was supposed to help out Scripps, which it did, but it was just weird. Like, Scripps rolls him up and he wins the match, and it just was a weak finish, a terrible match, and then afterwards Dabakato attacks them both and gets his heat back. This was not for me whatsoever, so this one was very, very rough, guys. Benoit Rich, our YouTube member, says, thank God it was short. Yeah, I was not a fan of this. Tiger Claw, YouTube member, says, the issue with Reggie Scripps, is his flips and gymnastic stuff just looks bad. Here's the thing, like, there's times where I thought that it looked pretty cool and they can make it work, but you have to find a way for it to make sense in the actual matchup, right? And I just think that Dabakato and Scripps were just not a match made in heaven. Like, it just did not, it did not click. They did not click. So that was, John Deller says, that was not for anybody. And I like Scripps, guys. Well, Reggie. I like Reggie. I'm hoping that things pick up for him because he's had a rough go at it. So at least he's trying. He's going out there and he's doing what he's supposed to do. But man, it was rough. Antihero says, glad I was spared from watching that match. Bless your heart, because that one was really rough. And we haven't seen a match that rough on NXT in a while. So this was definitely, yeah, not good. But anyways, that was NXT. We also, next week's matches, as I mentioned, we're going to be seeing the Schism versus Tyler Bate, Wesley and Mustafa Ali. We're going to be seeing Dragunov versus Baron Corbin. We're going to be seeing Noam Dar versus Nathan Frazier for the Heritage Cup. Now, before I go, please feel free, if you guys have any last minute NXT comments to get into, go ahead and send them in. Every Tuesday, though, I do read a review that one of the viewers left on Apple Podcasts. And this is kind of a little bit of a long one, so bear with me here. But just a heads up, if you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts if you've listened to the show and leave a review. I have 30 ratings. I'm trying to get to 100 by the end of the year. And it's a little hard because I know it's kind of annoying to have to go and leave a review and all of this. I know it takes time, but we are getting people that are going in and leaving the reviews. And so I read one a week or whenever they come through here on the Tuesday show. And we got this really great one from Alejandro Reyes. And I really want to thank Alejandro, because Alejandro, and this one's a little bit long, so just bear with me here. He says, he gives me a 5-star rating. He says, I first came across Denise during the pandemic through Quizlemania, a YouTube wrestling trivia show hosted by the lads over at Parts Fun Known. Ever since then, I started following her work wherever she went, whether at WrestleTalk, Fightful, F4W Online, and of course, her very own Instincts Culture. I've been following ever since she was close to 30K subscribers, so I was so excited when she finally reached 100K subs on YouTube. And seeing her genuine reaction for reaching such a milestone, her podcast covering NXT, Dynamite, and SmackDown, along with the occasional Rampage on Fridays, and her appearances on Fightful Monday nights for WWE and PLEs have become an integrated part of my life. Simply to hear her voice and perspectives on that night's show, as well as the thoughts of her viewers that interact on a regular basis. Not only are her podcasts a great listen, but she also works to bring her audience more content through interviews, prediction shows, unboxings, watch-alongs, live reactions, game demos, and press conference content. If you're a fan of pro wrestling and want to be a part of a kind community, this is your podcast to listen to. Above all, it is amazing to see a hardworking Latina representing our community, which makes the Hispanic references in our podcast all the more special, knowing you have more in common. You always hear everyone putting over Denise's hard work and dedication to her brand, and it does not go unnoticed. While I don't know Denise on a personal level, it doesn't take much effort to acknowledge her work and talent when it comes to her content. She has earned everything she's accomplished, from the silver play button to hosting an NXT pre-show in her hometown during WrestleMania Hollywood weekend. Proud to be a listener and supporter. Keep up the great work and hope others enjoy the work you put out for us. Alejandro Reyes, you deserve it. Alejandro, I don't think I could ever thank you enough for this very, very kind review. It literally made my entire freaking day that day. So thank you so much for sending that in. Alrighty, everyone, that is it for NXT. That is it for NXT here today. I have brand new interviews. I have one with Courtney Rush, which people are freaking loving. Courtney Rush, formerly known as Rosemary from Impact Wrestling. I also spoke with Camille, the NWA Women's Champion, and it was kind of fun to get to know her whole story. I didn't know much of her background, so kind of getting to learn a little bit more about her was very nice. And then on top of that, I also just spoke today to Steve Macklin, who is the Impact World Champion. He had a wild, violent match, bloody warfare against PCO at Under Siege 2023. And we literally just spoke about that and becoming Impact Champion. Check that one out too. Steve Macklin is a really interesting guy. So getting to hear him talk about all of this was really cool. And then of course the AEW Double or Nothing media scrums. If you guys haven't watched those, go give those some love as well. The Bryan Danielson one is definitely my favorite, so go check it out. Alrighty, everybody. Thank you so much, and I will see you back here tomorrow night for AEW Dynamite. Goodbye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.